Zero. Stories from Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
I had gone outside to fetch water for the breakfast dishes. Mother was in the kitchen and father in the backyard watering the vegetable garden.
I saw a tiny white speck fluttering toward the earth. Seconds later, there was a searing flash of light, and I crumpled to the ground, pinned beneath the timbers and glass of the shattered house, watching a cloud shaped like a mushroom rise over the mountains.
A black rain began to fall. Someone drifted past me like a ghost. All his clothes burned away. The explosion had melted his flesh. His skin hung down in strips like a peeled potato.
Nearby, the river was full of bloated bodies. They popped like balloons and stank. That smell of burnt humans you'd never forget.
After I'd made my way home across the burning city, I found my younger brother. He had huge blisters around his elbow and knee joints. Our mother had died years before. And with the hospital in ruins, there was no one else but me to treat his festering burns. A neighbor lady asked if we had mother's ashes. She said, "Take the bones, grind them to a powder, put some cooking oil in, and apply it." I'd never heard of using sacred ashes as a poultice, but I was willing to try anything. "Oh, Ma," I remember saying as I followed the instructions, "you must help your little boy."
For 6 months after the blast, we lived in a tiny shack built from the debris of our house, 2 miles from ground zero. The soil we touched, the air we breathed, the water we drank, everything was contaminated.
I feel like I have a shadow following me, a bomb ticking in my mind. What happened 50 years ago is not our responsibility. Our responsibility is the present and the future. All I wish for is peace in the world.